Well, I hope you guys on the Zoom can hear me. So can you guys hear me okay? All right. By faith, I'm going to believe that those who are watching us on the computer or iPhones are going to be able to hear us okay. Well, it's good to see you this morning. We've been talking about heaven. We've been talking about the wonders of heaven. And I'm, the more I study, the more I'm kind of anxious to get there. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. And just to let you know, if you come in late, you have to sit up front. Okay? We're looking at Revelation chapter 6 today. If you remember, last week in chapter 5, John was watching, and God the Father had a scroll in his hand. And the scroll was written on the front, on the back, and it was sealed with 7 seals. But no one was able to open the scroll. No one was able to break the seals. And John began weeping. And then a strong angel told John, stop weeping. There is one who is able. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is able to open this scroll. He's able to break the seals. And as John looked, there was a lamb as if it were slaughtered in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the 24 elders and the 4 creatures. This lamb stood up and the scroll was given to him. The scroll was given to the lamb. In chapter 6, the lamb begins to break the seals on this scroll. And this scroll is actually talking about things that are going to take place on this earth in the future. Now, we're going through a very difficult season right now in our world and also in the United States. And we are looking at some things that are unprecedented, has never happened before. But when the seals are broken, this is nothing compared to what's coming. Okay? This is nothing compared to what's coming. And so, church, we need to be ready for what's coming. If we can't face today without fear and panic and turmoil in our life, we're not going to face what's to come in a good way. Jeremiah was told, he was going through a difficult season in the time of Israel, and he was complaining to the Lord. Have you ever complained to the Lord? He was complaining to the Lord, and this was the Lord's response to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, if you can't run and walk with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses? I think the Lord is preparing the church to run with the horses. And we have to be ready to tackle in peace with the Lord's Spirit upon us anything and everything that comes our way. I don't think the church is ready. But we need to be ready. In Revelation chapter 6, we're going to read the entirety of Revelation chapter 6. It's only like 17 verses long. But we're going to just highlight some of the things in Revelation chapter 6. But I think it's important that we read the whole thing to kind of get the idea or the context in which it's given. And as I watch, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. As I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals on the scroll. Then I heard one of the four living beings say with a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked up and I saw a white horse standing there. Its rider carried a bow and a crown was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles and gain the victory. When the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living beast say, "Come." Then another horse appeared, in a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth. There was war and slaughter everywhere. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being say, "Come." I looked up and I saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, "A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost you a day's pay. Don't waste the olive oil and wine." When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, "Come." I looked up and saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was the grave. Those two were given authority over one-fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword, with famine, and disease, and wild animals. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, who were to be martyred, had joined them. I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs, falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive?" It's going to be a horrible day. Let's pray. Lord, I come before you and I just ask that you would bless us today as we've gathered together. And Lord, that your word would come alive to us. Lord, that it would not be dead in our spirits, but Lord, it would be alive. That it would go forth, and Lord, that it would accomplish what you intend it to accomplish. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive the things that you have for us today. I pray, O Father, that your spirit would take hold of us and not let us go until we accomplish all that you've created us to accomplish. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I was asked this question at the 9 o'clock service. By the way, I get to practice at the 9 o'clock service. And then he talks about the wrath of the Lamb. Doesn't that seem odd? The wrath of the Lamb. I mean, you don't think of a lamb being wrathful. When I asked that question this morning, I asked, what do you think about the wrath of the Lamb? Tom went, bad. Real bad. We don't think, we look at that and we think, how wrathful can a lamb be? But that lamb turns into a judge. We're going to discover some more as we go move through the book of Revelation. But the first thing I want to call your attention to as we're reading this, and you know that even in chapter 5, chapter 6, it never does call the lamb Jesus. Just the lamb. We know who it is. But John doesn't refer to him because he doesn't see Jesus. He sees a slaughtered lamb. That's who he sees. I'm sure he's aware that it's Jesus, but he never calls him Jesus. He just calls him a slaughtered lamb. We want to first look at, really quick, because there's not a lot in Scripture regarding the four creatures. The four creatures is one of those wonders in heaven that you'll have to get there before you can really experience it. John calls them creatures because they're not animals. They're not humans. They're not anything that he had ever seen or experienced before. They're not angels. They're weird. And in chapter 4 of Revelation, we kind of see, we can see what John saw. I wish he had had an iPhone. Or some way to take pictures of these creatures. I wish he had been an artist and been able to depict them. But we're going to see through his eyes a little bit what he wrote regarding these four creatures. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. And each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they keep on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who was, who is, and who is still to come." If you look at these creatures, the first thing that my attention goes to are all the eyes. Front, back, all over their wings, six wings, and I'm sure they're massive. I don't think they're just little toy-like creatures. I think they're massive. And I'm wondering, are the wings kind of like peacock feathers? I don't know. If at all, they're going to be beautiful creatures. But there's only four of them. There's no more mention of any other creatures like these. Ezekiel saw some creatures similar to this in his writings. But it appears when Ezekiel saw them that it was one creature with four different faces. And you can read that. I think it's in chapter 6 or something like that. You can read that. And it appears that he saw creatures different than these four creatures. They were flying around the throne of God. But it's really interesting. You're going to see some marvels in heaven that you can't even imagine seeing. It's going to blow your mind. And we get to spend eternity in heaven exploring all creation that God has created for our fun and our enjoyment. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for us, for our enjoyment. Isn't that incredible that we have a God like that? It's incredible. We find that these four creatures, one of the things that they did was they worshiped God the Father, and they worshiped the Lamb. They worshiped God the Father, and they worshiped the Lamb. When the 24 elders fell down to worship, they also fell down to worship. There's going to be worship in heaven. I had a young man tell me one time. He had a Christian. He hadn't been a Christian very long, but he had studied his Bible and some to an extent. And he said, "You know what? I don't think I'm going to like heaven very much." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I don't want to just worship 24/7. I want to do other things." I think he had ADD, kind of, you know. And he liked to go. He liked to do. He liked to be. And what I understand the Scripture to say is that, yes, there will be times we're going to be in the presence of God. There will be times we'll be in the presence of the Lamb. And when we're in their presence, all we're going to want to do is worship. Okay? That's all we're going to want to do. But there are other things that we're going to be responsible for. But I think worship will continue to go on in our hearts, regardless if we're in their presence or doing other things. I'm sure you've had days where there's this just, you go through the day and there's this just joy that just wells up in you. And you're doing other things, but you feel the joy of the Lord, and you're just worshiping Him and praising Him. Even though you may not be in His throne room, there's just something that entices you to worship Him. And I think that's the way it's going to be in heaven, that there's going to be such a joy and a peace and a happiness within you that regardless of what your responsibilities are in heaven, you're going to be in a worshipful mode all the time. You know, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray with, and part of that is when we get to heaven, there's just going to be, I think, this dialogue going on with the Lord and with others just because nothing interferes with that. Nothing interferes with that relationship. Isn't that going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing? One of the things we see regarding these four creatures is that in chapter 6, when the Lamb breaks the seals, the New Living Translation says that one of the creatures says, "Come." In some translations, it's as if he's speaking to John, and he says, "John, come and see." But regardless, the creatures, it's almost like they have been appointed to somehow speak a release to these four riders on the horses. So the first seal is broken, and first creature says, "Come." And the rider on the white horse comes out. He goes throughout the earth. If you study that, it's probably the Antichrist. Then the second seal is broken. The rider on the red horse comes out, and he starts doing his thing throughout the earth, slaughtering people. There's going to be wars, that kind of thing. The third seal is broken, and the creature, third creature says, "Come," or "Come and see," and it releases the red horse. No, I'm sorry, the black horse. And the black horse, it appears, he says, a loaf of bread is going to cost you a day's wage. So there's going to be famine in the land. Then the fourth seal is broken, the fourth creature speaks, and the green pale horse comes out, which is death. And the fourth of the world is killed by disease, by famine, by war, and by wild animals. A fourth of the population of the world is destroyed by these four horsemen. Then the fifth seal is broken. That's where I want to spend the rest of my time today, is on this fifth seal. And I'm not going to finish today. I'm going to have to speak some more next week about this fifth seal, because there's a lot here, a lot we understand about heaven just by viewing what's taking place under the altar. So this fifth seal, fifth seal, starts in verse 9, verses 9 through 11, and we're going to read that one more time. It says, "And the Lamb broke the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus who were to be martyred, had joined them." So what John saw, the souls of all of those who had been martyred for the name of Jesus Christ, those who had been killed because they proclaimed Jesus Christ, and because they had lived their lives for Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know who all he saw. He could have seen his brother James there. He could have seen Stephen. You remember he was stoned to death. He could have seen him. He could have seen some of the other apostles who had already been martyred. John was the only apostle who had not been martyred and was not martyred. He was at this time on the Isle of Patmos. According to tradition, they tried to boil him in oil. So he cooked the oil up and stuck him in the oil, and he kind of like took a bath, got out. And so then they put him on the Isle of Patmos because they couldn't kill him through boiling him in oil. Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. And so during Nero's time, there were many hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians who were killed during his reign. And if you study history, one of the things that Nero did is that he would take, if he found a Christian, he would take them, he would dip them in wax and set them on poles and then light them on fire so that they could be lights for the streets of Rome. He may have seen some of those people under the altar. The scripture says all those who were martyred were under the altar. Everyone. So James would have been there. Some, if not all, of the other apostles would have been there. Stephen would have been there. And I'm thinking, why under the altar? If you remember in the Old Testament, God told Moses, "I want you to build a tabernacle for my glory, and I want you to build an altar there where all of the sacrifices that are done for the children of Israel will come, and they will be sacrificed on the altar." You remember that? Well, these saints, your brothers and sisters, were sacrificed on the altar of Jesus Christ. If it had not been for their sacrifice, it's very possible that we would not have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's very possible you would not be a believer in Christ if it had not been for those people who've gone before us. You know, we celebrated Memorial Day last Monday. And we have heroes, armed services, who have given their lives for the victories, for the freedoms that you now experience here in the United States. And I applaud them. But you also have brothers and sisters in Christ who've gone before you, who have paved the way so that you could experience the freedoms that Jesus Christ has given you. They should be our heroes. They should be our heroes. And they were under the altar because of the sacrifice that they had made. But one other thing I want you to notice is that not only were they under the altar, but John said he saw the souls of those who had been martyred. He didn't say he saw their bodies. He said, I saw the souls. That word soul in the New Testament is nephesh. And it basically means the person who you are. Did you know that your body doesn't really tell you who you are? Your body doesn't tell you your personality. Your body doesn't tell me your emotions. Your body doesn't tell me that. That's just a house that you live in, that your soul lives in. And so what John saw when he was looking under the altar were the souls of men. They did not have their permanent body yet. Okay? Are you following me? All right, don't get lost. So when you get to heaven, when you and die, pass from this earth, we will take our final breath at some time. And then the next breath we take will be in heaven. Amen. Our soul will go to heaven. It will leave our body, and our body will decay or be cremated or however. I remember when I was in the seminary, I had a professor who was at Pearl Harbor during the Japanese raid. And his responsibility, there were soldiers all out in the water. Some were flailing, some were drowning, some had burned to death. And his responsibility was to swim out and retrieve the men that had been suffering or who had died during that raid. And he said sometimes, so what they would do, they'd tie a rope around him. And he would swim out. And he would grab, hold, and bring them back to the ship or to the bank. And he said there had been times he would reach out to grab and the skin would just peel off of these soldiers. He would come back in and they would say, can you go again? He said, yeah, I'll go again. So I don't know how many bodies he retrieved. But when those guys died, their soul, if they were a believer, immediately went to heaven. Now what Scripture teaches us is that there will come a time when our soul, as believers, will be reunited with a body, but it's going to be a different body than what we had when we were here on earth. Okay? Hoo-hoo! Praise the Lord! So let's look at a couple of passages. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, where the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. Hallelujah. Another passage in verse 42. It's the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They were buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Now, what I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Woo-hoo! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! So here's the deal. When Jesus returns, your soul and the new body are going to get reconnected. However, that new body is going to be different than the body in which you now have. Because this physical body, Mikey, is not going to be what is going to be able to live in heaven. As a matter of fact, this physical body is deteriorating every day. Like it or not. Okay? And we pray, Lord, take away this pain. Lord, take away this. Take it. And you know what? That prayer is going to be answered. Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! We're going to experience a body that never gets sick. We're going to experience a body that never dies. We're going to experience a body that will never grow old. A body that will never lose its hair. Amen, Glenn. Amen. Amen, Mike. Amen. That body will never have cancer. Never have Alzheimer's. Never have dementia. Never grow tired. It'll be a different body. And so the body that you now have, and it's planted in the ground, Scripture says it's kind of like a seed. It's going to be similar to the body you now have when it sprouts up out of the ground. It's going to be similar, but it's not going to be the same. Every believer in Christ will get a new body. You won't see blind people there. You won't see people in wheelchairs. You won't see people on crutches. You won't see people hobbling around. Praise the Lord. You won't see people bent over. It's going to be a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous place. Scripture says in Revelation 21:4 that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are gone for a little while. Forever. All these things are gone forever. You won't need your oxygen anymore, Mikey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, I want you to be very clear. As a child of God, when you die, your soul will leave your body and immediately be transported to heaven. There are some who teach soul sleep. Basically that when your body is planted in the ground, that your soul goes to sleep with your body. Okay? You remember Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. You remember that? And so basically what he meant, said, meaning by that was my spirit, my soul, is leaving my body. And so, Lord, I'm going to put it in your hands. Father, I'm going to put it in your hands. His body did not go to be with the Father at that moment. It was a while before that happened, when he was resurrected. His body was put in the grave, or put in the tomb. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You remember that parable that Jesus spoke about Lazarus and the rich man? And Lazarus, Scripture says that he died and he went to Abraham's bosom. Now, it's not talking about his body. It's talking about his soul. And then the rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, it's not talking about the rich man's body. The rich man's body wasn't there. The rich man's body was in hell. I'm sorry. In the grave. His soul was in hell. And he lifted up his... So, Scripture teaches us that when we die, that this temple, this body, this house dies, but our soul will live on forever. So, here's the point. Jesus offers you eternal life. He offers you a new body. He offers you heaven. He offers you the Holy Spirit. He offers you the riches of glorious heaven. That's his offer to you. But it comes with a condition. And the condition is that you receive Jesus as your Savior. That's the condition. The way you do that is by giving him your sin, turning away from your sin, and placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically, what that means is you just turn... All of us have a self-will. And basically what that means is that, Lord, I'm gonna give you my will. And I want you to lead me, and I want you to guide me. I want you to take my life. I give my life to you. And when you do that, Scripture teaches that you become a child of God. And all of the things that we've talked about this morning, about heaven, a new home, a new body, all of that is yours by receiving the gift of Jesus Christ. If you're here today without Christ, or if you're listening to this recording, then here's what you need to know. God loves you, and he wants you to live with him forever. If you don't, it's your choice. It's not his. It's yours. And if you want to call the church, if you want to connect with me in any way, then I encourage you to do that, because this is life or death for you. Eternal life or eternal death. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you today for your word to us. I thank you for what you have in store for us. Lord, it's hard for us to imagine all that you have planned for us. Lord, we get glimpses of it in Scripture, but Lord, because we've never experienced it, it's hard to grasp it. But Lord, I know that all of those who are experiencing right now are like, man, I want everybody to be here. Lord, open our eyes. Open our hearts. Help us to see and experience all that you have for us in this life and in the next. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.